Welcome to 180 Degrees, brought to you by the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland and supported by the Government of Ireland. Our mission is to be at the heart of Ireland's energy revolution. In this season, we share with you the stories of people across Ireland working towards a cleaner energy future. We discuss energy efficiency in the home, electric vehicles and Ireland's charging infrastructure. Hello and welcome to Season 3 of 180 Degrees. I'm your host Louise Ryan, and in this episode, we talk through the buying process when in the market for a new electric vehicle. We visit a local car dealership for a test drive, and we hear some of the most commonly asked questions customers have when buying an EV. To kick off, let's just hear some of those top concerns.
One of the biggest ones would be range anxiety. You know, obviously, people who are not early adapters, who would be new to it, one of the biggest questions will be what is the, you know, the range anxiety, and you know, what is the battery life and the warranty on the battery. Yeah, so those two would be probably the most common. And then obviously then rolling onto that then is the grant application, which previously was a little bit tedious, but now it's fantastic. It's really, really seamless. It's 24, 48 hours approval. So yeah, those would be some of the concerns from customers coming in.
Common concerns with the EVs would be maintenance, in regards to, is there different schedules around the maintenance and servicing of the cars? The answer is no. The servicing maintenance is exactly the same as any normal car. Intervals are the same. The big difference being that the costs are significantly lower because there is huge amount less moving and serviceable parts in an EV. Essentially, they are completely maintenance-free. The running gear side of things is completely maintenance-free. There's no oil filter, air filter, spark plugs, fuel filter. They are all gone. The only serviceable filter in the car is for the pollen filter for the air conditioning. So obviously, that has a massive impact on cost. Significantly lowers it. You're probably looking at €99 per service in an electric car as opposed to probably €250 for a normal car. So obviously that's a massive help towards the lower running costs in an EV. Even things like tires and brakes tend to last longer because of regenerative braking. It takes up a lot of the stress that the brakes would normally be using. So like brake pads and stuff last longer. So they're extremely reasonable to keep on the road and to keep maintained properly.
Okay, so it's great to hear the grant approval process is no longer a concern and that range anxiety is also improving now that EVs have better batteries and can travel further on one charge. I would like to mention that drivingelectric.ie is an invaluable source of information for anyone considering purchasing an EV. It covers topics such as range, battery size, EV maintenance and much more. Our Compare and Calculate tool allows you to browse and compare the latest electric, petrol and diesel cars on the market and shows you the differences in running costs and carbon emissions. We also have a journey cost calculator tool where you can enter your average annual mileage or even your most regular journey, such as your commute or the school run, then calculate the cost of these journeys in a range of different cars. We suggest checking these tools as your first step before visiting your local car dealership and booking an EV test drive. The dealers will be more than happy to answer all of your questions. Which brings me to our next slot. My colleague Orla visited Windsor Bray recently and had the pleasure of joining Michael Coughlin from Windsor Bray for a test drive of an EV to understand what the difference in driving one is really like.
Michael.
Hi Orla.
How's it going?
Grand, thanks.
We're here to talk about EVs today, in your capacity working for Nissan. Full disclosure, I'm an L driver, so I am not in the driver's seat. You are, but I think that's better because you know how to work the car and I don't. So do you want to like talk me through the main differences when you're driving an EV and what do people usually comment on it during the test drive?
Yeah, sure. I'll take you through the test drive experience and what it's like for most people. But believe it or not, you've just mentioned you're an L driver. The big difference, I suppose, between an EV and a petrol or diesel car is anybody can get in and drive these cars. I could have you driving this car in 10 minutes, Orla. That's how easy they are to drive.
Okay.
And like the driving experience, once people get in a test drive, once they drive these cars, there is no one wants to give the keys back. So I'll just go through it with you. Like The first thing is we don't have an engine. So we don't start an engine, we power up. So typically when I would get into a car and I'd be talking to someone, I normally, you know, you press the brake button, press the button to power the car up and it powers up. They hear absolutely nothing, as you didn't there, but all the dials come alive. So I would normally talk them through it and just show them, you know, explain the screen to them. So the screen will always show you your range. It'll always show you what your range is at the moment, how much battery percentage you have. You've got a telematics unit here.
Okay.
And that, that'll show you, that has your mapping, it has your Apple CarPlay, your Android Auto CarPlay and that. And normally we would talk through the different things in the car, the safety features, like standard right across the range. You've got forward emergency braking, you've got rear cross traffic alert. And the rear cross traffic alert is fantastic. We've all been in a position where we're parked, say, between two vans or two cars, and you're reversing out and you can't see. As you reverse out, there's two radars in the back bumper that pick up oncoming traffic, and they'll actually warn you if there is cars coming that you can't see. You've got your blind spot in your mirrors as well.
Brilliant.
So once we've explained all that, I'll normally, while I'm talking to people, because it's just a motor, there's just two directions you can choose, either forwards or backwards. So it's drive or reverse. And I would normally have slipped it into D while talking to them and then move off like so.
Okay.
And as you can see, there is the first thing you get off people is, wow, we're moving. You did, but you didn't start it.
Yeah, that's so
you know, and it's so quiet, and there's no noise. Now, there's an artificial noise built into the cars. It's called VSP, vehicle sound for pedestrians. And that's a noise. It's like a whistle, an artificial sound that's built in the car. And somebody outside can hear it. It's in the car up until 30 kilometres an hour. It then goes out of it. And then as you decelerate and come back down, once you go below 25 kilometres an hour, it cuts back in.
Okay, so pedestrians can hear the car.
So the pedestrians, if you're in a car park, if you were in, you know, a car park or in grounds or that moving around where there's a reduced speed limit, there's that whistle. Animals can hear it, people with hearing aids, young children and that. It just lets them know that there is something around.
Brilliant.
And then secondly, I suppose, when I pull out and we're explaining all these things, we'd normally drive up the road here. You know, the people will comment on how quiet, how comfortable it feels. And I would explain to them that there's less fatigue driving an electric vehicle because there's no engine vibration in the car whatsoever. Okay. We talk about the maintenance because there's no real maintenance on an EV.
Yeah.
And then once I get out here, I would always accelerate away. And as you can see, it's just like pressing a power button on a rocket. They just go and go because it's instant torque straight away. And it's the one thing that people do not expect when they get into an electric car. They think of milk floats. They think of, you know, old bread vans and that they're slow. And they're quite the opposite. Most people who get into an EV, regardless of what they've driven in the past, have never driven anything as quick as an EV or as exciting. And as you can see, like, I'm just driving along here. I'm not changing gears. There's no gearbox in the car. I have a standard steering wheel that you get in a normal car. The stalks for my wipers, my lights. So to get in, it's simplicity to drive. Now, the one unique feature that we have is we've got, in a petrol or diesel car, you've got an accelerator, a brake and a clutch. In an automatic, you've got your two pedals, you've got your accelerator and your brake.
Yeah.
So an electric vehicle, that's essentially what it has. It's got an accelerator and a brake. And then we've got e-pedal. An e-pedal is, if I click this pedal here, it comes on my dash there. So as I accelerate, I'm using the power I need. But as I decelerate, I have no need to use the brakes at all. The car will just slow up for me. And it slows, it uses the motor and regenerative power then puts power back into the battery. So I'm only using power as I need it. And it's possible to drive these cars for 2, 3, 4, 5 days without ever having to use the brakes. I mean, I'm slowing down to a turn here. As you can see, I haven't touched the brakes.
Yeah.
It'll come to a halt. It'll actually hold me on an incline as well if need be, and then I can pull off again.
Brilliant. So here's a learner driver question then. Is there no handbrake?
There's an electronic handbrake
in
the car.
Okay.
So when we pull in, you'll see I just clip this button, I pull it up, and that puts on the handbrake.
Oh, very good.
But the handbrake disengages automatically as I accelerate away once I have my seatbelt on.
That's much easier, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. So I've got my different modes. Like, you've got eco mode here as well. So you press the eco mode, and you'll see that your range goes up roughly by about 10%. And what that's doing is, because the car is so powerful, it's limiting the amount of power you can take out of the battery. So the acceleration wouldn't be as brisk as it is in full mode. And also it'll limit the amount of power that your your air conditioning uses, because the only two things that use the power from the main battery is your motor when you're driving or your air conditioning. Everything else, like your mapping, your dash, your screen, your horn, your lights, your wipers, all use your 12-volt battery, a standard 12-volt battery for power. So it doesn't put a drain on the main battery.
Great. And so that'll be handy, I suppose, or driving around more built-up areas anywhere where you'd be going at a low enough speed too, you know, more urban areas if you're going into eco-drive.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Eco-drive is perfect for that. As is, if you're sitting in traffic, I mean, if you were coming in the morning in towards the city centre and you're sitting in traffic, if you select e-pedal, you're just sitting there and you're just touching the accelerator as you want to move. You're easing off it and the car will brake and hold for you. So you're not even switching pedals.
Okay.
And it really is. Like, you know, I've seen people who've struggled to drive manual cars and they've got into these. And once they get into one of these and drive them after 5 minutes, that's what they, you know, why should I drive anything else? Yeah. It would be like yourself if I could convince you to get in. I'm telling you, you'd be in driving like this within 5 minutes in the car. And if, you know, the opposite, if somebody was only used to driving something like this, you'd never put them into a manual car and let them drive it. It's so complicated.
Yeah.
But it's the experience that people have and the experience they have out on the road. It's just, it is such a nice drive. Yeah. It really is. And people think that if they're buying an EV, that there's going to be a compromise, you know, in driving an EV. It's not. I don't care what car you're getting out of. If you're getting into any EV out of a standard car, this is like an upgrade. Mm. It really is.
So I assume the feedback is usually positive then. It's hard for them to
fault. Arla, we've always said, when somebody comes in and they're interested in the incentives that are in place and, you know, they take it on board, people always want to think about things. You cannot let them out without letting them drive these cars, because I think everybody should drive an EV. I think everybody should get in, have a spin in one, just to drive one, even if you're not ready to change yet.
Yeah, just to experience.
Just to experience the drive, because it really is. It's incredible. And as you can see now, we've just come off the motorway. We've driven down. My feet are not on the pedals. I haven't touched the brake pedal because we've got our e-pedal on. And if I select it off then, it's just back to driving like an automatic, two pedals, brake, accelerate. And that's, if you can drive a Dodgem car, you can drive one of these. Great. So what do you think?
It's lovely. Like, it is so quiet. That is the main thing you kind of...
Yeah.
And there is, the smoothness, there's no jolting.
And one of the features I love, particularly for myself on my Leaf, is, you know, the connected services. So you, there's a host of different things you can do. Like, you can download an app onto your phone that connects to your car. So, you know, in summer, I can actually look out the window, see the temperature, see what it is, and turn on the aircon and cool my car 5 minutes before I leave work.
Oh, brilliant.
If I get up in the morning and I'm getting ready to go to work, I always walk my dog before work. When I'm coming back, if it's frosty, if it's cold, I just go in and turn on my heated seat, heated steering wheel, and I defrost the car completely, all from the comfort of my phone. Takes 5 seconds to do, but when I come out and get into the car then, it's nice and warm for me. Steering wheel's warm, seat's warm, and off I go to work in the comfort. Brilliant. And this particular model, as you can see, it's got the, in the telematics unit, it's got the mapping and that, and it's also got the charge stations. So if I click on this here, it'll give me a list, as you can see here, of all the different charge stations, where they are. There's one 400 metres, 700, 800, 800.
Yeah, that's very handy.
Mainly standard charge points, and then there's a couple of fast charge points as well.
And you can filter it as well.
You can filter it as well, yeah. And you just literally select the charge point that you want to go to, and it'll take you directly to it, right to the charge point.
Oh yeah, so that's really handy. You obviously can't be near your phone at all when you're driving, so you can just quickly bring up this map and then see where everything is. Yeah, brilliant. Yep. Yeah, I have to say it. The noise, you might have to get used to it because it's so quiet.
It is. When you say get used to like the noise, get used to the fact there is no noise. You know,
something missing.
Yeah,
just was peaceful.
So
great, thanks. That
impressed.
Very impressed. Yeah,
good.
Just have to get my license now and then I can hop in one myself.
And, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Orla.
Thanks.
Okay, I hope that's convinced everyone that they need to book a test drive as soon as possible. Orla, you really need to get the L plate sorted and go invest in an EV. Sounded like you were having way too much fun there. And finally then, Orla spoke to Michael about his customers' most common concerns, the SAAI grants available, and the importance of home chargers.
We're just wondering, what are the most common concerns you'd hear from customers when they're coming into the dealership?
Yeah, I suppose the concerns of people haven't, it's the one thing that hasn't changed over the years. So we see the same concerns when they walk in. And the number one question when people come into a showroom is range. And, you know, how I would address that is I would always, you know, pre-qualify them by asking them what their daily needs are in a car. So once you can get them over that hurdle, because, you know, if you take the smallest battery electric vehicle, a 40 kilowatt battery at the moment, it'll do 275 kilometres on a single charge WLTP. Most people do around 50, 60 kilometres a day. But let's say, for argument's sake, they were even doing 200 kilometres a day, 5 days a week. That's 1,000 kilometres a week, 52 weeks of the year. So it's still of no concern to people, because the real convenience is, as we point out to them, you plug your car in at night, you get up, you have a full charge, and off you go again. So it's to let them know that they're not really reliant on public infrastructure for their daily needs.
Would price come up then as well as much?
Price wouldn't really be on people's agenda when they come in. Like it's range, and then it's you know, battery and battery life and warranty, and does the battery need to be changed, and what type of warranty is on a battery. And I think it's the same for most manufacturers. Like ourselves with our Leaf has an 8-year battery warranty or 160,000 kilometres. And that's against 25% degradation. So if the battery has less than 75% of its power within the 8 years or 160,000 kilometres, if it's a faulty cell, it's fixed. If the battery needs replacing, it's replaced. So that addresses that concern. And then the other thing would be safety. And all the cars have a 5-star NCAP safety rating anyway. So
what do you feel are the key selling points for making the switch to electric? Is it more economical? Is it environmental?
It depends on the customer. Like the early adopters where it was more environmental. Nowadays, it's just, I think it's in people's minds now with all the talk about EVs, with so many being available. So, you know, pricing, cost to change, they're coming in. They're just curious now, where the early adopters knew everything about the car before they got here. People are curious now. They're coming in. They want to know about the car. And again, the first thing they do is, you know, you do is address their concerns that they have about it. Once you get them into the car, the key is you get them into an EV and get them driving it. They don't want to get back out of it.
And how do you find people's knowledge of EVs in 2021 compared to previous years?
Yeah, and I think the great thing is now is that we have so many on the road now that when people come in, they will always tell you about their sister, their brother, their neighbour, their relative that drives an EV. So most of them have been in an EV and they have a general knowledge of the car, impressed enough to come in, talk to ourselves then and look to do the switch.
What about the plans to ban sales of new petrol diesel cars in 2030? How is that going to affect things?
Well, if it goes ahead, what it means is that you will no longer be able to sell a petrol or a diesel engine from 2030 onwards. Now, it doesn't mean that they will all come off the road then. They won't. I think they can stay in the road till 2045. And after that, then they can't get an NCT. So at that stage, it's, you know, this is a transition period. We've 9 years left. And I know it sounds like a long time, but as we know, that'll pass very, very quickly.
And what grants are available from SAAI for EVs?
Yeah, another question when people come in. So the car is always advertised minus the 5,000 VRT exemption and the 5,000 euro grant that's available to the public or to a private buyer. The grant from the SAAI is crucial, and it really is crucial to the sale of these cars, because there's a huge difference between, you know, a car costing 10 grand more if you take the 5,000 euro VRT and the 5,000 euro grant. And then there's a grant for people for their home charge point now, so they can get a grant of 600 euro. Generally, a home charger is between 1,000 and 1,400 euro. So if they're getting 600 euro back, they're getting nearly half the cost of it.
And how is the application process for the grants?
Oh, the application process is great now. It's very simple. And I think what's really, you know, what's crucial with the application process is when people come in, they've no work to do at all for the grant for the car. It's not like most grants where they have to pay it up front and then they have to submit paperwork. We do all that for them. So we will take the details off the person when they come in. We'll submit the grant. And where it used to take weeks, we normally have approval within 24 to 48 hours now, which means we can actually get the car out within a couple of days. And because it's taken off at source, they don't have to pay it. They just pay for the cost of the car minus the grant.
Brilliant. So there's no kind of hassle with paperwork.
No hassle for them whatsoever.
Side.
They're not even aware of the paperwork that goes on in the background.
You guys do all that.
We do all that.
And would most customers, do they tell you if they're applying for the home chargers? Are you kind of aware of that?
Oh, of course. It's part of the process when they come in, because for us, you know, it's paramount to a successful ownership of an EV is if you can have a charge point at home. Being able to charge, not having to go out and charge, being able to come home, plug in and be fully charged the next morning. So we talked them through the process. We talked them through the grant application for it. We would have contact with SEAI approved and Electric Ireland approved installers to install it in their house. Normally it's done within a week, 2 weeks now of them purchasing the car.
If someone can't get a home charger, say they don't have a driveway or they're renting, what would you recommend to them?
Yeah, look, part of the pre-qualifying process is to try and make sure that the person has access to a home charger, because for us it's paramount to owning an EV at the moment. If somebody's in rented accommodation, we'll always advise that they get in touch with the landlord, get the landlord's approval to get the charger put on site. For somebody in apartments, it's changing now. It was a lot more difficult in the past, but now there's spots being made available in the likes of apartment buildings and that, where they're going to run, where they can run power points down now and install chargers. It's not where it needs to be. There needs to be a lot more done, but it's not something that we can that we have any control over at the moment. But I would be skeptical about somebody who would be taking a car who needs to do. Big mileage if they're living in an apartment block at the moment.
And are there any similar financial incentives for businesses to get EVs?
Yeah, great incentives for businesses. I mean, businesses used to be able to avail of an SEA grant, an SEAI grant of €3,800 that was removed. But still in all, for a business owner who buys an electric vehicle can benefit from the accelerated capital allowance. And normally they can write off up to €24,000 in value of the car against trading profits in year one. Whereas on a normal car, a petrol or a diesel car, that takes up to 8 years to realise. They can do it in the first year of EV ownership. The big, big saving for businesses would be for the employees, because there's no benefit in kind. And benefit in kind for anyone who pays it knows it can be €300-400 a month. So immediately it's a €300-400 saving you make every month that you actually see in your pocket. There's toll charges as well. There's up to 50% reduction in toll charges. So there is good incentives there for businesses.
So the latest figures show that 6,000 EVs have been sold in Ireland this year. And there's been 150% increase of EV registrations, which is BEV and PHEV,
okay,
compared to 2020, which is obviously great. But what do you think are the challenges now we have to achieve the government's target of 1 million EVs on the road by 2030?
Okay, well, look, if you take a look, we've 9 years to get to 1 million cars. And for me, it's no different than a petrol diesel car. If you're trying to sell a petrol car or a diesel car and there's no fuel stations, people are not going to embrace it as quickly as they could embrace it. And the big problem for us, and it's been the same from day one, is infrastructure and charging. If you take the likes of Norway, over half the sales in Norway now, 50-60% of car sales in Norway are EVs. They started out on their EV program at the very same time as us, okay, with pretty much the same infrastructure in place, same population, and they're already at 250,000 EVs, if not more. We're still struggling, and the problem we have is, even though people don't really need a public charging infrastructure in place if they're home charging, it's still paramount to selling the car, because they do have concerns. What if? So for me, it's getting the infrastructure in place. We have an opportunity, like we have so-called fuel stations, and you see them everywhere you go, whereas at the moment people are reliant on an app for the few charge points that we have, fast charge points, or on the mapping that's inside the car. Whereas the likes of fuel stations, when they're upgrading, it should be compulsory that they have to put in X amount of, and it could be done very easily if you look at their turnover of fuel and base it on that, 4 charge points, 6 charge points, 8 charge points, and the confidence that would give people that there is, anywhere they go that they see a fuel station, they can then charge there.
What do you predict for the future of EVs? Like, where does the market lie? How is the technology going?
Well, I mean, it's changing. You said it yourself, we've 2030 coming up upon us, and according to the government, we won't be able to sell petrol or diesel cars from 2030 onwards. So it's going to be an EV one way or another if that does go ahead. And the technology in the cars, as you'll see when we drive the car, it's far superior to most petrol diesel cars that are out there on the road.
I think Michael covered a lot there, but if you still have questions about EVs, pop into your local car dealership for a chat. And of course, visit SAAI's website, drivingelectric.ie. Thanks to our guest, Michael. Next week, we're looking at charging an EV. What are the options? What's involved? And what support does SAAI provide? Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you've enjoyed it, then please like, share and subscribe to our podcast. You'll find previous episodes on our website, saai.ie/podcast, along with information about our grants and supports. Until next time.